This is RSVNB Update, episode 299, recorded Friday, March 11th, 2011. The Smithing Drain. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to this episode of RSVNB Update. Mr. King Kola is here, who was here last week as well.
Hello.
Dave is also here. He's our resident smithing expert, and he's going to be providing his insight onto this update and just what he thought when this came out and whether or not it was worth it in the end. And of course, I'm here as well, even though I kind of made it sound like I might not be last week, but never fear, you're listening right now, and we'll be doing this show, provided that our internet connection holds up. This is take two, by the way.
Take two is never as good as take one, of course.
Yeah, unfortunately. But anyway, so the Artisan's Workshop is this week's update. It's the major rework to the smithing scale, and I'm sure Dave has plenty to say about this because he has 99 smithing and got it the old-fashioned way, I guess you could say, now that this has come out. So,
yeah, back in the good old days, right?
Yeah. Back, I don't know. Well,
there's two phases now.
Yeah. So what was your first reaction when you heard that this update was finally going to be coming out this month?
Well, I read it in the behind the scenes for March, and I was initially pretty disappointed because I thought that this was going to be their second attempt at the smithing rework, that it was just another one of their cop-outs, like it was with Dungeoneering when it first came out, because they claimed that that was a smithing rework, because everybody was mad that, okay, once you get to 99, you can make the best free-to-play armor, and that's not even worth anything in pay-to-play, where most of the people have 99 smithing. But I can honestly say I was pretty disappointed when I heard about it. Came out, I was still pretty disappointed because it's more or less a mini game. And yes, I called it a mini game. I refuse to call them activities. But it's, I don't know. It's different. I'll say that. I don't want to say it's amazing, but it's definitely something different if you're not into the whole just grind at an anvil, you know, hammer out five plates, go to the bank. But, you know, that's kind of what I was used to. That's how I got it.
Okay. But, so with you saying that, does that mean that it's not grindable?
It's, I would say, less grindable than just doing it the old-fashioned way. Because as bad as this sounds, it does take a lot more attention and effort to get the experience this way. For example, Ceremonial Swords, which is what most people are going to be doing when they're getting 99. It's not 100%. Whereas the old-fashioned way, you could sit there and hammer out five plates. You get a guaranteed lump sum of experience for that run. With Ceremonial Swords, it's kind of like a luck of the draw. We'll get into explaining each one of the activities in the workshop later, but it's not 100% every time. When you're making a sword, you have a chance to get it as close as possible to the plan. And if you don't, you only get a fraction of the base experience for that sword. So, you know, if you, in essence, aren't lucky that round, you'll be getting a fraction of that. So it's varied. So, I mean, I think I personally like consistency. So I would think it would be better to train the old-fashioned way. But if you want variety, might as well go for the workshop. But
okay, so in a way, this is probably the same way that you would say maybe a barbarian fly fishing is, in that you need to pay more attention to it because you need to gut the fish there. Whereas here, you have to focus specifically on each part of the sword that you're making, right?
Right.
Okay.
And it's definitely, when you first try it, you're going to think it's ridiculously expensive, but when it comes down to it, yes, it is a little bit more expensive, but not as much as you think when you crunch some numbers. But it's I'm pretty sure it's more expensive than the old-fashioned way, given what the market is for bars and ores.
Yeah, we'll get there shortly in terms of how everything works and everything for the, with the different sections and everything. But this is something I wanted to ask Kala about here, because smithing is a free-to-play skill, and this does have the a few free-to-play components. And coming from the free-to-play side for so long, does something like this, in your perspective, change anything?
I think it might change something, you know, because as Dave said, it's basically an alternate way of training the skill. So if you're doing it, as he says, the old-fashioned way for so long, you might eventually get bored of that. So doing it this way, it gives you a chance to still train the skill and, you know, do something different, mix it up a bit. And then if you, you know, once you've had your fill of that, then you can go back the other way. I see it basically as two different ways to train. If you're going for pure efficiency, though, then, you know, I don't know, but you might want to find the best way of doing it that way. But I think for variety, it's probably a pretty good thing. It might not be what everyone wanted, but I think everyone's expectations for updates are high as it is, and that they can't always get exactly what they're wanting in the first place, you know?
Well, yeah, I was actually reading the FAQ for the update, and one of the first questions was, is this the quote-unquote smithing rework? And they claimed that it wasn't. It was just a update they've been working on a little bit. They said it's not the table rework and all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
They said there's been a lot of feedback on the forums, and they're getting a lot of ideas. But they had a little disclaimer at the bottom. It says they're not promising any updates, but they said this isn't technically the smithing rework that everyone's been talking about, and they're still in development with the new table reworks and new armor types and stuff.
Okay. That's good then. Because I remember last time they tried something like this, it was called the Blast Furnace, and I can count on one hand the number of people I know that have used that.
Right.
More than once. So, but, you know, I think this is another way for them to entice people to become members again, right?
Right.
Because if they can bring this kind of sample of more variety into the free-to-play space, and then somebody who's free-to-play likes smithing, maybe they'll become a member and subscribe.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what their MO is, right? Is just giving you a taste, and then, you know, mm-hmm. trying to get you addicted onto that taste, so you can get
you like
more
that
of
term,
that taste.
MO.
Yeah, I do. I use it a lot.
I've only heard it in criminal justice kind of stuff.
Well, yeah. Well, it's used as motive, right? It's their motive. But, you know, companies have motives as well, and everyone has motives. So
that's right. Just like this show.
Exactly. We all have different motives and goals and different wants. And, you know, we all like different things, so that's our own MO, really.
Yeah.
But anyhow, back to what we're talking about.
Let's
here.
Let's talk about the different regions in the thing first, unless you have something to say about the free-to-play side and the MO.
Well, I think it's a good way to get people to come back into the game, and it seems like with a lot of the updates that they've been trying over the past while, such as bringing the wilderness back, they've been trying to bring people back to the game and back to members, you know. So it just goes on that same note, you know. So I think if they just keep adding things, it might be a good thing, as long as they don't take things away. And I think this is a pure addition. It doesn't take anything away from the other way of training smithing, you know, just going out and hammering the plate bodies out like everyone used to.
Right, and that's a good thing. I like the balance, because with a lot of updates, when they come out, usually the other method becomes obsolete, and then the market crashes for whatever that method is, and I think this is pretty equally balanced. I mean, even I would go as far as to say that the old way is still going to be the most popular, but it's not like they're updating and completely wiping something out. They'll keep it balanced, and if anything, that is what this game needs, is balance, and it needs to stay that way. So,
mm-hmm. Well, yeah, here's why the old way is going to stay popular. Ingots.
Right. Oh, my God. Yeah.
25 adamant ore and 150 coal for a grade 4 adamant ingot.
And that makes one,
ceremonial sword.
Given you don't break it. So you could potentially just completely waste all of that money, and the chances are that you get that sword perfect are fairly low, and I think it's like 6.5k if you get it right, if you get it completely right. So it's like, when you weigh the options, is it really worth it? It's more of, like Kula said, it's more of a variety. It's not really efficient at all.
It's like Russian roulette.
More or less, yeah.
I don't know why I made that analogy, but okay. And presently, adamant ore goes for 1250 GP each, so 25 of those. Yeah, that's quite expensive. That's 31k just for the ore right there, and then 150 coal. I don't know what coal is right now. Let's see. Let's hope that this website continues to work. Coal is 319, so 319 times 150, so 47. Yeah, 78k for one ceremonial sword here.
How much?
73, 74k. Okay. For adamant ceremonial sword, which will give you at most 6.8k XP if you get it perfect.
Right. And given that you don't overhammer it, because you could completely get, you could get zero for 71k. That's where the Russian roulette comes in. You could, you know, basically you either get under or you blow it. So, I mean, it's extremely rare that you're going to get the full amount of XP for that.
Yeah, I'd be tempted to skip the ceremonial sword training, maybe. But the lower level cart tracks things, the fact that you don't need to have any equipment there except for the ingots to build these cart tracks, and you can get beginner smithing XP pretty easy, and you don't have to worry about everything that conventional smithing has to worry about, like
right,
the banking and everything. Yeah,
exactly. You just take the ingots out and pretty much make it. So
I think that's a part of this update I like the best.
Yeah
and it seems the most more cost efficient than the sword, certainly.
Oh, definitely. But, well, you don't even really have to pay for anything, because there's just a bin of ingots there, and you don't even have to put ore in. You just get them. Especially just take out of, oh yeah, you don't pay for any. That's why it's like 1 to 30 or whatever. Because you just, there's bins of bronze, iron, and steel, and you just take them out and use as many as you want. I took out like 8 inventories and just made tracks. You can do that. It's free, but you only get like a total of 30 XP per like steel track you make and then lay. I mean, it's really nothing, but I mean, you get what you pay
for. Yeah, steel track, 100%, 25 XP. Which apparently requires level 60 smithing.
Wow, okay. I didn't realize that. That's kind of...
Then, of course, we got the burial armor thing, which uses grades 1, 2, and 3 of the ingots. And with this, you get a certain amount of XP for each body part. And then I guess this could be the mid-range way of training, but they also have the rune ones. So, for instance, at level 90 with grade 3, you get 758 XP for the helmet, 758 again for the bar, I mean for the chest plate, and then boots and gloves as well. So that might be a better way to do it.
How much does rune ore go for? Is it still like 15k? Because that's the kicker right there. The ingot probably takes at least 5 rune ore.
True. Let's see, runite ore, 10.9k.
Well, the grade 3 one would cost 4 runite ores and 3 coals. So that would be, again, around 70k or so.
For just like 700.
758 XP.
Well, no. Only 758 XP. That's right.
Are we truly understanding this right? Because this seems like a complete waste of GP to do this.
That's what this is. This is a money sink.
Yeah.
If you think about it, there's been
we can't
the game needed
the
another
yet,
money but... sink. That's what this is.
All right, I take back everything I said earlier. This
everyone
is
that has a
spinning terrible.
Cape, save your gold. Don't spend it on this. We're better than they are.
Okay, so
really? Wow.
This is getting more and more discouraging as we go along.
Yeah.
Wow. Cannon repair?
Is there something good about this?
No. Okay, so I went to try that, and there's four different tables where you take cannon parts and then you clean them, or you take the cogs out. Okay, so anyway, I took the base, and you're supposed to take the cogs out of the base, and there's like, I think there's 12 broken cogs in the base, and then you go over to an anvil, and you repair them, and then you put them back in. Okay, so I go over there. Mind you, I have 99 smithing, almost 14 million experience. I broke 10 of the 12 cogs. I was like, you know what? No, I just left. Really? I tried to put them back in, you know, thinking, okay, you're given 12 or 10 or 12. You're supposed to maybe put like three back in, you know, because they're all broken. You need 10 to put back in this to make it done. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to drop. Are you sure you want to destroy this? Yes, leave.
You get 3.8k XP for repairing a cannon.
Yeah, that's kind of underwhelming for all that work, as you said.
just for one of the parts. Yeah, considering there's four different tables, and then you have... it's just... No,
but there's golden cannons now as part of the rewards.
Right. I'm saying I broke that much on one of the parts. I can't imagine doing a full cannon. It's like, oh, you get 3. Okay, 3k XP. Good job. Now that you've wasted 15 minutes pulling your hair out, here's a little bit of XP to keep you going.
Yeah, okay. This does not make sense. And then, of course, we got the ceremonial swords, which we've pretty much already mentioned. Is there anything else we need to know about those?
If you're going to train that way, and if I say train, I mean try it out because it's not worth training, always... it tells you how many like centimeters you hit per like style of hit, like hard or whatever. Always don't expect like the hardest hit to always hit 5. It usually hits 3. This is on the knowledge base, but I figure I'd just say it now. Hardest average hits 3. The next one down 2, 1, and then the bottom one, which is careful, always hits 1, but doubles your cooldown, so I recommend never using the bottom one because that's just asking for trouble. So always undershoot on your hits because, like I said, if you spend roughly 70k on an ingot and you overhit one of them over 6 centimeters or 8 on the tip, you're going to be extremely pissed, and it's not a good thing. So always underhit on that. But other than that, I really wouldn't recommend training that way.
This seems like a fun update, this one part, because it seems what smithing would actually be like, you know? But
That's what I thought. Instead of just like, you know, when you smith something, you just click an anvil and you go. This, you actually interact with it. I would like if it was a little less like you miss, you're screwed type of thing, you know? I wish you got a little bit more experience and it was a little bit more balanced with cost-wise, because then it would be a legitimately fun skill to train, you know, and not just... pumping money into it and buying bars and then hammering on an anvil. It'd be actually like you're making weapons, but I think they went a little overboard with the quality of it, and they based it too much on luck rather than skill, and then they pretty much screwed you over if you mess up.
And what happens if you mess up? You don't get anything back? Like, you don't get a certain...
You don't get scraps or anything.
You should get some kind of piece of the ingot left after that.
Yeah, you should get like fragments, and then once you get 3, you can remake it or something, you know, to somewhat redeem yourself. Yeah. But I guess that's just more of a proof of a money sink. Oh, you spent 70k? Well, too bad. Now we get it.
Alrighty, now the rewards. This last part. Apparently, the more time you spend training there, better you become at smithing, the more respect you gain from your dwarf tutors. So then you can cash in this respect value that you get. So. Like, let's say, for example, quick repairs cost 5%, which lets you learn more about the workshop's undocumented features, and you'll be able to repair the workshop's burst pipes more quickly.
So basically, it's almost got, like, components of a blast furnace. Like, you go around and, like, fix pipes. It's kind of like a distractions and diversions within the workshop. That's what we need, right?
Yeah, and I think the things that are the best are the budding student and master student ones, which will give you a further 2% boost to any smithing XP gained. So, and then you can also have the keen student one for a 4% boost.
It's not bad.
Then
that would probably be the most worth it.
Master student will also give you another 1%, so that's an extra 5% boost there. So,
well, you know, what's 5% of 3.8K for an entire cannon, you know?
Right. Is it really that worth it to grind
whatever XP? Respect? No. No. What about this golden cannon where it says, and I quote, Elof will be happy to pimp your own dwarf multi-cannon into a golden machine of death. You can convert it back at any time.
It's like, okay, is this a weapon or is this a circus act, really?
I know.
I was
reading this thing with Mike, and it's like, what game are we playing? What year is this?
Right. We go from medieval to using the word pimp in the patch notes. Okay.
Yeah.
The next one, of course, is a different cannon, the Royal Cannon. So, yeah, pretty much just a top-end cannon. I don't know why anybody would want that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Alrighty. I would almost want like a more rugged-looking cannon weapon as opposed to some like golden, fancy, like royal thing.
Yeah,
maybe that's just me. But
or even different types of ammunition. You know, like a grape shot. That would do a whole lot more than one big steel cannonball. You know, typically
yeah,
a steel cannonball would
smith
be used
different
for
types of can right. Smith different types of cannonballs, like I don't know, just different materials, or you know, as opposed to putting like gold-plated cannons. That's kind of dumb.
Yeah. Because if you think about it, what is a single cannonball used for? That's used for penetration into like a ship or something. Whereas right. if you were trying to take down a crowd of people or monsters, you'd want
to
spread out.
You'd be
like
able to
a,
like poison
burst.
Cannonballs for like an area of effect type of thing or something. I mean, just something besides making it look pretty. It's like, look at my gun; it has gems on it. That's retarded.
So true too. I mean, it doesn't. It's not going to help you anyway. It's just going to make you look like
yeah,
a
here,
badass.
Let me get shitty experience and then get useless rewards. Sounds like a good update.
Okay, in that case, rating out of 5 then.
Before we actually looked into it, I would say 3. Now that I looked into it, I'd say 1.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with a 2. Just for an easy medium, I'm not too impressed with it.
I'm going to go with a 2 as well. But, you know, it's a money sink, which
yeah.
we need. Because we haven't had a new money sink since Summoning came out.
Wait, why do we need money sinks?
Well, because Jagex likes messing with the economy.
So technically we don't like it, they do.
Yeah, there
okay.
you go. Because if things were to continue as they were, we'd head back to the same situation we were at, whatever it was, summer 2007 or whatever, when there was that huge amount of money in the economy, and the same situation we were in before construction came out as well.
Yeah. And before the first bonus experience weekend when everyone trained summoning.
yeah. Anyways, not much to mention in the tweaks and fixes for this week, aside from the fact that the cannon has been redesigned, of course, which, I don't know.
Thank God for that, right?
Yeah.
Seemed kind of expected, but, you know, I don't know. I think the new design looks good. The other one kind of still echoed back to the old software RuneScape 2 kind of days, you know? So,
is it me, or do the dwarfs in the workshop look extremely bad, like, compared to all the other NPCs? Like, all the other NPCs have, like, shading and stuff, and the dwarves in the workshop, I noticed, and I'm pretty sure my graphics are on high. They were like, they had nothing. They seriously looked like almost something from, not classic, but they had like no like depth or anything. But just their skin was just like this peach color, and there was
yeah,
it was
that,
like, okay.
That's the low polygon count and the fact that they can't do shading on those kind of things.
Oh, okay.
So, anyways, in the release notes for little bug fixes this week, I just wanted to mention that Tears of Guthix has now been updated to deal with a singer player whose XP total was too high.
With a single player whose XP total was too high.
Yes.
What exactly do they mean by that? That someone was getting far too much for it?
Well, no. Basically, I think this is referring to something that maybe one of the top players had, too high of a total XP count, and maybe there might have been some kind of problem with the bounds of their integer kind of thing.
Hmm.
So.
All 99 front page, and they're doing Tears of Good Things.
Well, yeah, it's a good thing to do.
Is it an experience ratio, or is it level? Like, if you have, 150 mil in a skill,
level.
If you do...
Level.
Okay. So they get the same amount each time. They don't increase. Like, they have 150 mil, they're not going to get, 500K from tiers.
Yeah. I'm assuming it was probably one of the top three, because the limit of a signed integer is roughly 2.14 billion, and four people have over that amount of XP, so it could have been one of those people that was causing it if they were doing some kind of experience comparison or something on that. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, because that's what a max cash stack is, though, right? Well, that's what any max item stack is, yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, that is that. Moving on right now to Clan Celebration Month. Doesn't it feel like we just had one of these last year?
I feel like every behind the scenes has some sort of clan appreciation thing in it, but maybe
me. It does seem like we're going a little too heavy on the clan stuff, you know, like it just seems as though we just got finished with one of these kind of clan appreciation.
Add some sort of like official support, like on the page or something, you know, like they want to do all this unofficial stuff, but yet they're the developers, so they could take it a lot farther than they're talking about. I mean, if that
well,
makes
that's
any
coming
sense.
with this development blog, the clan camp.
Okay.
Which is, of course, going to take an area south of Falador, which was already heavily populated, which really annoys me, because that's where, you can't keep putting new little houses and buildings in areas that are already populated.
Yeah.
That does not make sense. Leave the area by the air altar as it is.
Exactly.
I do not want some clan camp by my farming patch there. Leave it alone.
They want to bring the noobs to you, Shane.
Introducing the clans to the wonders of farming.
Well, this week is the skilling part of Clan Appreciation Month.
Huh. Well, maybe that's what they're trying to do then.
It's just annoying, really, this entire thing. You know, why?
A clan, then you'd be, overjoyed at this. But people who aren't, they're really unimpressed with it. They're saying, why did
take,
you...
Did you take a look at some of these pictures of the clan camp? It looks like, I don't know.
Yeah, it does look kind of weird.
Looks like a circus house or something.
Yeah, like the scribe who looks exactly like Jeeves, a stereotypical butler.
Who's Jeeves?
Really?
You know, Ask Jeeves.
No.
Yeah.
No. Oh, Ask.com?
Oh, never used it.
Okay. I don't either, but...
Everyone knows who it is.
You guys can take a read through this, but basically the whole idea of this is that it's going to be an area for clan-related features in the game and everything. So, more on that to come. I just wish that they could move these kind of new things somewhere else, you know? Because it doesn't make sense that this area is going to be so populated that you're going to be able to walk from Falador to Drainer Village and not be leaving a city and not have to go through any kind of open areas, you know? That just annoys me, because...
Yeah.
Let's just concentrate everything between Falador and Varrock.
Yeah, it's annoying. Like, it shouldn't take you 5 minutes to walk from Falador to Varrock.
Let's put everything in free-to-play, but don't make it available to free-to-play. Okay. good plan, guys.
I don't know. I don't have anything really to say about this. I'm not impressed with it. You guys have anything you want to say about it?
Nope.
Well, it's funny because with the further development of the game, it seems like it's underlying the real world's population crisis, and that cities will keep getting bigger and eventually merge into one, so that there will be no space in between them.
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about.
There'll just be strip malls in between them where you can see different stores, you know, on either side of the pathway, and you won't be able to go anywhere else.
RuneScape, now a linear game. Okay.
Yeah. RuneScape, population 11 billion.
Yeah, they're making more updates than their map can almost support, I think, at this point. Because I remember back when I started, you could walk from, like, Varrock to Draenor, and, like, it would just... there'd be like landscape, and now there's some sort of, there's all these different farms and all these different houses and different encampments, and it's just like, it's sort of taken away from that.
Yeah, and that's how it should be. It should be how it used to be in that respect. Because if you think about it, in the book, I didn't read the book, but I heard that in the book, it took more than a day to get from Falador to Varrock.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I bought the book, I didn't completely finish it, but yeah, they were talking about like, you know, it'd take 2 days to get from like Falador to Taverly, and they had to like camp overnight at like Doric's place or stuff. And I tried to like imagine what the time thing would be. I mean, just like the distance, it's like, okay, 20 blocks. How did they, you know, put that into, cause it, I mean, it took like a week to get from Falador to Barbarian Village. And I thought that was kind of cool where, you know, it usually takes me like what, 45 seconds, you know?
Yeah, so that's what I want. I want more realistic kind of stuff like that in it, you know, like a bigger world kind of thing.
Yeah.
So heck, you could pretty much see Doric's hut from the Falador Wall.
Exactly.
Oh.
Exactly. Anyways,
it seems like there's a very simple solution to all this. Just add another place to the map. Like just expand the map.
Keep expanding.
More. Yeah. Yeah, instead of adding to already used places, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would suck though in real life, because runecrafting would probably take me like 2 days to get to the altar and back. You know, teleport to the nature altar, you know, camp out that night, and then, you know, teleport back to Castle War.
Yeah.
Okay, so with that being said, I don't know how we got on that, but yes, this is going to be annoying. And as a little side note, in this February issue of the Star Trek magazine, there was an ad in the front cover of that for Betrayal at Falador.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
But anyways, bonus XP weekend. That's happening right now as we're recording this. And maybe just a bit as you guys are listening to this on the weekend. So what we're about to say goes for the bonus XP weekend, March 11th through the 13th. So starting at 2.7, ending at 1.1 at 600 plus minutes. So pretty much the same as it's always been with that respect. So they are doing one thing else that's different on this one. Their skillometer thing, which is some way to rank yourself. It's not even automated, but you can go into this forum topic here and see their skillometer. And if you go there, it'll have rankings for how much XP a certain what they would assign to each XP bracket, you know?
Oh yeah, that's interesting.
So yeah, but you know, it's not automated, which is the same thing. Like
yeah,
they say 1 million.
They could do so much more than just talk about it.
XP is God of all skills. 900,000 to 999,000 is it's over 900,000. And skills to pay the bills. Strong in the force, like a boss. Working 9 till 5. Behold my power. I'm not bad at this. I drop my hammer. How I mind fish is the last one. So anyways, that's that. It's a whole other community thing associated with the bonus XP weekend and clan celebration month. But to be fair, one thing they also did before, during this week, before the bonus XP weekend, was they held workshops with maxed players. So if you wanted to go see someone talk about how to farm who had 99 farming, you could do that.
Wasn't that on their channel? They had a video of like Season doing an herb run and stuff.
Yeah, stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they actually had stuff in-game as well, so.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was kind of interesting. I'd like to do that one day before I die or something, you know. There's lots of time for that.
Oh, my God. What do you want to do before you die? I want to jump out of a plane. What do you want to do? I want to go to an in-game seminar.
No, I mean, I want to run an in-game seminar.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh.
Alrighty, that's enough of that. We beat that horse to death, or multiple horses, I guess.
We love beating horses to death on this show.
Moving on to the questions right now. We got three audio questions this week. First one is from a person named Golden White.
Hey, Shannon, Chief Shake. Snake, I'm sorry. It's me, Golden White. I have a follow-up question to my question from last week, which was, what's your least favorite skill? And I said summon. My follow-up question is, do you have any recommendations on how to train summoning? I plan to use this during the bonus XP weekend. And my second question is, do you have a least favorite quest? Thank you, and happy RuneScaping.
Alrighty. Basically, what you want to do for summoning training is, you know, blue charms give the most XP, but they're not exactly the most economical. So I think people agree that the best way of doing that is using crimson charms and creating whatever familiar at your current level is going to give you the best XP for your crimson charms that you have. And then repeat once you get up to a higher level summoning one. And then after that, you'll use your blue and your gold and your green. But there might be cases where you might want to use your blue before your crimson if you can get to a new crimson creature. So try to keep that in mind, that you should maybe take a look at, if I were to use these blue ones first, could I get to a new crimson creature? So keep that in mind, but crimson creatures are the best way to go. I assume you guys don't have anything to add on that?
Sounds good to me.
I agree completely. And the thing is, like, whenever you want to train summoning and planning it out, it does take a lot more than other skills, because you can't really make an efficient calculator for that type of thing. Because, like Shane said, a lot of it is trying to use all of your other charms to get you up to using, or seeing if your lesser charms like gold, green, and blue can get you up to something like a new crimson creature you can make. So it's really something you just kind of have to sit down with the pen and paper and just kind of see what you're going to get and see if you can get up to the next one to make it that way. It's not necessarily something you can just say,
yeah,
okay, well, I can make this amount, that amount, this amount, because you probably could be getting a more economical plan to train.
So. We toyed with the idea of making a calculator like that to calculate the most efficient route, but it was determined that it would require so much compute power that we would have to queue up the request and then send you back an email later in the week of what it was going to be. So we didn't exactly do that. So we're waiting for some kind of advent on programming there to make that simpler.
Yeah.
But I think the best place you want to train summoning at, if you have the ability to use a spirit kayat, I believe it is the Piscatoris summoning obelisk there. Otherwise, you will want to go to what's the other one? It's not Taverly.
Yeah, well,
it's not. I'm trying to think of the best one to use if you don't have the. Or no, yeah, Taverly would be good now.
You set your house to Taverly and then just do teleport out of house and just do house teleport tabs, and it's right there. So
that's the other choice. So. Least favorite quests?
I don't even think I have one. Okay, maybe Cook's Assistant. I have to use that one all the time, but no, don't really have least favorite one.
I got one.
I haven't done all of them yet, so that's probably why.
Go ahead, Shane.
The quest where you get to learn how to make pickaxe heads, because that was a quest based entirely on global warming. I forget what it is, but it came out sometime in 2007, I think it was. Or maybe 2008.
Yeah. I can honestly say I don't like any quests, because I'm just not the quest kind of person. But if I had to pick, I'd probably say Regicide, just because of all the freaking annoying agility things you fail and get hit for.
Oh,
like,
I love that quest.
Like 50s. So you're just constantly just fail.
But I do have 99 agility.
Storyline was great, but I hated the agility thing.
All right. Next question is from Bunny Macaroni.
Hey, guys. My question is, what is your favorite gift from, like, from Christmas, from your birthday, or from RuneScape, if you want to answer that? Thanks. Love, Bunny Macaroni.
Does he mean just from this recent one or from many?
I don't know. Any, maybe?
I'm assuming meant or any.
Well, I got a new computer chair this past Christmas, and I think that's been my favorite one because I hate to say it, but I use it daily. So it's worked out a lot better. The old one was falling apart, and it kind of sucked. So, yeah, new furniture is always great, especially if you're a college student.
Right. I'm going to have to say, back in 2004, Christmas, I got my first drum set, and the rest is history. So I think that speaks for itself.
Well, that's pretty good.
Okay. I don't remember what year it was, but it was something Star Trek related, and it trumped that's everything else.
Well, that's of course. A given. Yeah. I mean, look who we're talking to here.
But don't you almost get something Star Trek related every Christmas?
No, not always. Not always. It depends on the year and what's happening in that area, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was probably last year, because that's when the movie came out. So, yeah. Thank you, Bunny Macaroni. This next one is a great question. It's from Uncle Dano.
My lords and my ladies, squires and maidens, woot! It's Bonus XP Weekend! That's right, from Friday, March 11th to Sunday, March 13th, RuneScape members will have the opportunity to gain extra XP for standard training activities. Hopefully you have stocked up on planks, potion ingredients, and raw materials to get the most out of this third Bonus XP Weekend! The modifier will begin at 2.7 times the normal rate of XP and will drop to a new multiplier every 30 minutes. Normal training activities that will earn you the Bonus XP include combat, magic, agility, construction, cooking, crafting, dungeoneering, farming, firemaking, fishing, fletching, herb lore, hunter, mining, prayer, runecrafting, slayer, smithing, summoning, thieving, and woodcutting. So are you prepared? And what will you be training?
Some restrictions apply. Bonus XP available to members only. Summoning XP limited to constant 10% bonus. Bonus XP does not apply to quests, ancient effigies, strange rocks, lamps, distractions, or the assist system. See the website for details.
Bonus XP weekend!
Oh, I love that question.
Yeah, it's good.
that is hilarious.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had anything like that before. So
I think we should give him a round of applause.
I don't have an applause button on my soundboard.
No, that's all right. You can do it the old-fashioned way.
Well, then it just sounds like muffled, like things touching together. But anyways, so. What are we doing for this weekend, Kala?
Unfortunately, I'm taking a pass on this weekend, but I'm sure if I did do something, it would be very exciting. I'd probably just do the regular routine, you know? Just think of it as a bonus.
Okay. Dave?
I have not logged in yet, but when I do, I will be training Slayer. At least what I can of it, because I really didn't have much time to prepare with school and other obligations. So I'm just going to see how much I can get with Slayer and hope for the best.
Yeah, that's a good idea for Slayer. 2.7 times Slayer XP. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
For me, a couple of days ago, I already put 2 spirit trees in the ground, so I'm waiting for those to be done. That's the first thing I'm going to go check when those are done. Then after, I am going to go on my farming run. And unfortunately, it's not a magic farming run because that would have cost me $7 million because a magic seed is currently going for $360K.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
So. but after that, I plan to do, I don't know yet. I prepared for both cases, kind of. Either runecrafting. I think the ZMI is 2.7 bonus XP, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Either that or just hunting at my butterflies or Jadinkos at Herblore Habitat. But I was never able to figure out if the creatures down there are instanced. Like, if you bring in a certain type, are other people able to see it? I was never able to figure that out.
I'm not sure. I went the day it came out, and of course it was retardedly packed, so...
I went when nobody was there, so I wasn't able to tell. So, yeah. Anyways. But I think that's about it. Yeah, I don't know which one I'll end up doing, but something like that. I know last bonus XP weekend I started doing some magic, and that ended up with me getting 99 magic, so I'm hoping that I'm not going to end up with something like that. I don't want to get 99 Hunter or 99 Runecrafting right now specifically.
Oh, you know you do. Don't lie. You know you want 99 Runecrafting.
Yeah, I do want 99 Runecrafting.
You just don't want to do it, but you want it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. So, anyways, that'll be that, but we got to do something with Uncle Dano there and immortalize that question somehow and get Jagex to use it.
Put him on advertising staff.
Can't just be, you know, the year-end clip show and that's it. We have to immortalize that in RSB&B history.
The front page. Hey, if you're new, check out this advertisement.
It'd be great to make a YouTube video of it and send it into the Jagex Twitter to see if they could do something with it, you know?
Oh, yeah. If somebody had video and they could, it's 59 seconds long, so if you could put video to that and you have the audio, that would be interesting.
For the next one in September, just change the date.
Yeah, but I don't know if you'd want to spend your weekend doing that to get it up, so I don't know.
Yeah. Especially since it's bonus XP weekend and you might have to, you know, waste time doing that, which defeats the purpose.
Well, that was fun.
Thank you, Uncle Dano. Moving on right now. Next question. Kala, that one is for you.
This question is from Ben. Dear Shane and his two man friends, have you tried Alien Swarm? If so, what did you think? If not, why the hell not?
No, I have not tried it.
What is Alien Swarm? That should answer the question right there.
Yeah, it's some game. I don't know. I don't exactly know what's so popular about it and everything, but I have other games I prefer to play.
Well, I have not.
I think the popular thing about it is that it's free.
Oh, okay.
It was released by Valve, how many months ago? I don't know. But, yeah, it's free. So if you want to try it, that's good to try. I personally actually haven't tried it yet. I just haven't gotten the chance to. I've got too many other games on the go and have had for quite a while. But, yeah, it would be a good one to get into, though. I agree. But, yeah, it is free, so anyone could use it. I guess if you have a Steam account.
Okay, I'm afraid that covers that one, so sorry to disappoint you, but none of us have tried it.
Yeah. Sorry, Ben. Maybe next time.
Oh, okay. I don't exactly remember how to say this name from last week, so...
Oh, God. Even I forget now.
Yeah, I'm just going to go Jamie Sine and say sorry about that. But dear Shane, Cola, and Devo, what do you think about using effigy assistance as a training method? I have found that the easiest way to accomplish this is to simply go every 24 hours to World 117 Damonheim, where enormous crowds gather of players requesting and offering assistance. I turn public chat to hide, since otherwise comments stream by too rapidly to respond to assistance requests. Then within a couple of minutes, bam, 30k free XP. I was able to get smithing from 94 all the way to 99 using exclusively effigy assist. However, when I got my smithing cape a few weeks ago, it didn't seem as thrilling as I expected. It doesn't exactly feel like cheating leveling up this way, but the feeling of accomplishment was diminished. What is your opinion? Thanks.
J. Mycini. just to make sure. J. Mycenae. That's what I remember now. I guess I'll go first since I just started talking. It's hard to say. I'm not sure if it's cheating because it is a legal way to do it in the game. It's whether you're cheating yourself or not, because what you should do when you're training skills is what I always think you should do is just have fun and not just get the 99 or get the reward or, you know, do it as fast as you can for as little as possible. I think you should have fun while you're doing it. And if you're not having fun, then yeah, you are kind of cheating yourself to level up that way. But if you want to do that, then go right ahead. But I'd probably prefer a more fun way of doing it because that's the point of playing a game, in my mind.
I see no problem with it. I think that it would take a long time and it would get tedious and boring just because it takes a long time. But, you know, if it's just something you do every day, then that's perfectly fine. Another thing I think might be kind of interesting to do is effigy hunting, where you actually go to a creature and fight them for their effigies and then use the lamps that you get at the end to get experience in that. So that might be good. So, I don't know.
I don't know if I would call it a training method. I would call it more of an incentive. I know a lot of people that are, I guess it bothers them that people with, you know, 91 plus skills can just go and get free XP. Well, they obviously earned it legitimately up to that point. It's not like they cheated up to 91. So if you don't like other people doing it, then stop complaining and get it up yourself and get the reward type of thing. I know that sounds kind of arrogant, but I mean, if you have the level, it's not like you're getting a ridiculous amount every day, and it's not like you're able to assist people when you're level 20, that type of thing. I think it's a decent amount of experience for the people that are good at the skill and have taken the time thus far to train it. Going from 91 to 99 with effigies, that's preference. I mean, okay, you could get 99 smithing from 91 in a week by hammering out plate bodies like I did, or you could spend, you know, 3 months getting 30 a day. I mean, it's whatever you want to do. I mean, if you feel like it's devalued your cape, well, I mean, that's like, you know, cheating yourself. That's completely up to you. But I just think it's personal preference, and I don't really think it's cheating in any way. Because, like I said, if you get up that far, you have a right to get a little bit of experience. Because compared to what you got up to 91, 30K is really nothing when you think about it.
Yeah, that's a good point. So it's just personal preference, but I think overall we don't see any problem with it. So
yeah,
whatever floats your boat. Alrighty. Zach wants me to say this next one, but I'm going to get Kala to say this next one.
Why me? You're supposed to say it, Shane.
No, I just read that last one.
All right, but I'll disappoint Zach by not saying it just like you would. Hey, guys. By the way, I want Shane to say that exactly as it's typed. Question one. I am thinking of playing RuneScape again and renewing my membership. I just haven't had any time to play lately. But I want something fun to do. I need to get to 60 attack and defense. I'm around 50-ish in each, and I'm bored with most methods. Any suggestions? Thanks, your controversial consultant for crazy contraptions, Zach.
Well, it depends. You know, there's pest control and soul wars. I don't know if that is on his radar or not. But my generally favorite method of training combat is just Slayer.
Yeah, because you train Slayer as well, right?
Yeah.
I would say if you're looking for variety and trying to get away from the whole just grinding kills, I would definitely suggest pest control, considering it gives you objectives and it kind of gets you thinking a little bit more than just clicking a monster and eating when necessary. You know, it requires a little bit of teamwork and kind of gives you different points to go attack, obviously, and defend or, you know, do whatever. And it's a little more interactive than just camping one spot and just killing. And then, you know, you get the combat experience obviously within the game, and then you can spend your rewards on more XP. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword there. So.
Okay. Kali, you have anything on that one?
Well, I've heard pest control is a pretty good way of doing it. Also, finding a monster that, you know, has a good drop table is always good. And as Shane said, doing Slayer is also good. But I don't really have anything else to add. Do what you think is fun. If you've tried different monsters before, just maybe try slightly harder ones or to give you a bit of a challenge. You know,
that and if might none are be... fun, maybe combat is not your thing.
Yeah, that's also possible too, eh?
Alrighty. Thank you, Deszak. This next one is from that guy who was on the show with us last week, Almighty Gods of RSBNB Update and the cute voice of Kala. With so many updates in RuneScape over the past few years, do you believe it is time to completely change how the report system works? And of course you'll agree, what features would you implement for a general clan chat and player mod report system?
Okay, I just have to interject that he said last week that my voice was sexy, so I consider cute a downgrade, so shame on you, Trekkie. I'm very disappointed in you.
Report system. Let player mods temporarily ban people.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And give us IP address control over clan chats so we can limit multiple accounts from coming in one after another.
That would be nice.
And as for general, give us a right click report context menu and I don't know. There's really nothing else we could do about the regular player report system in my view, so I'm done with that one.
I don't even think you need to, you know, give IPs to the clan chat owners. You just need to say IP ban, like ban all accounts that would be
associated with that, like behind the scenes. Yeah,
exactly. You know, that way the it doesn't compromise security on one point, and it allows them to not bypass a clan chat ban on the other hand.
Well, it would really be their own fault if they were stupid enough to have their computer set up so getting their IP address would result in them having a security problem.
Well, I mean that, you know, so that you, I mean in the sense that as soon as you go into a clan chat, your IP is displayed to the owners or admins or the mods of the
But your IP address is displayed to every website you go to.
Exactly, but I mean, it's not displayed to other people that go to the website, unless the people on that website design it, so it is that way, you know? What I'm saying is that they can IP ban it without
publicly displaying your stuff.
Exactly, they can add an IP ban without actually displaying it to the owners.
So if you kick that person, it puts a mark on everything that comes from that IP. Instead of having to guess who came back in, it just automatically that account as a whole, kind of almost like a World of Warcraft type thing. Instead of having like your main account, it has your IP, so every character coming from that IP is flagged type of thing.
Okay. Anything else on this one?
I think the simple way that clan chat is set up, you know, it kind of gives, it doesn't really give much power to the people running it, especially if there are people that come in that you either don't want there or are causing trouble.
Well, so, we got to also remember that clan chat was designed before Jagex really started putting an emphasis on community in-game. They just wanted you to use their community. They didn't really emphasize existing communities back then, so
yeah.
Well, another thing that they could add to the clan chat that just crossed my mind is for people that had the power to do so, have like a mute thing to where it mutes you for a certain amount of time instead of completely removing from the channel, just mute or something. Maybe that's pointless, maybe it's just better to kick, or some sort of warning system, maybe to, like, if you get you can add or the mods can add or subtract warnings, and once you get a set amount, you can never come back to the clan chat type of thing, or you're banned for more each time you get removed. I don't know. I'm just kind of spitballing here, but I think there's some different things that I guess.
Yeah, that would be good, you know. And then they could also extend this to the game in general and make it so that you have to associate your RuneScape account with something that ties you to a real person, like your Facebook, your Google, or your Google account or something, you know, just so that, you know, if you screw up on RuneScape, you'd pretty much have to start a whole new identity to start over again in that respect, you know, like, I don't know. I just think there's too much anonymity on the internet right now.
Yeah.
So I know privacy freaks will say that no, you need anonymity on the internet, but I think in this day and age, the internet needs to evolve to the point where it needs to
be more like a
real gathering. Yeah,
people abuse it, and they make alternate personalities, and they're just people they're not, and then they get into trouble, and then the trouble they cause, you can't catch them because they're not real, and it's like, really?
And that creates more problems for the rest of us. So
yeah, exactly. For the people that are actually honest on the internet. So
that's why everybody needs an IP version 6 address when we finally get swapped over to that, and you get that one address for life. And if you screw up, it's like being sent to jail. Anyways, thank you for that one, Trekkie. Yes, Cola, we could debate this forever.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, but I don't think I'll do that here. Maybe tonight we can have an hours long conversation about the merits of privacy. But
what about barcoding people?
Oh god. It goes way back to nation states, doesn't it?
Yes. Alrighty, Dave, next one.
Oh, the huge one. Okay. Incoming transmission from Lifeform Class HSS-99887. Greetings, fellow sentients. While exciting my retinae through the screen of my televisual device, which at the time was displaying a film adaptation of one of the most successful African-American drug cartel in history run by Leroy Barnes, last week it came to my consciousness that the manner in which governments regulate hallucinogens, depressants, stimulants, and other psychoactives is rather futile. Thus, I contemplated my actions if it were in my want and will to charge this. I conceived the idea of a legislation but stricter mandation of these substances, though the more dangerous ones would still be as current. As equals, I value your input. What do you have to say? On a highly unrelated note, I was once made aware by the one referred to as Shane, as I recall, that the repeated bootstrapping over long periods of time can cause damage to computational equipment. Why would this occur? What is referred to as standby prevent such detrimental circumstances? As always, input is acknowledged.
Bootstrapping. Bootstrapping is something completely different there. So, anyways, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Okay, so I guess this first question is saying, what do you think about legalization of drugs and higher things like that? I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. And it's pretty funny because I'm pretty sure the film that he's referencing was American Gangster, in reference to Leroy Barnes. I'm pretty sure that's the one he's referencing. He might be watching some old documentary, though.
Simple answer is that if you open the door to any kind of anything else that's already legal, it will eventually open the door to future legalization of maybe things that are worse than that. Granted, people already get it and there's no stopping it, but really, is that the kind of message you want to go to the world with, that something that was bad for so long is now going to be okay and acceptable like that? So
yeah.
It's funny. Go first.
No, I was going to say people could argue this for years, and just for my response, make it short and sweet, no, I don't think this stuff should be legalized, because like Shane said, if you open it up, then what's to say that you won't open things up for worse things? And it just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling, and by the time you know it, one of those things over time, you're not going to notice it as it goes, but if you take, you know, you remember back when, and then it's going to be like, oh my God, look where we are now. And it's, you just can't let it go. You have to have rules, and sadly, a lot of society doesn't want rules and just want to be careless, and that's, you can't really live like that. I don't know.
Yep.
I think one of the quotes from the Canadian government is one of the funniest in this particular situation, and is that when there were some court cases saying that drug legalization and criminalization shouldn't be in the hands of the federal government, basically the government said it was under the Constitution to save the people from themselves. And I think in that sense, governments do need to keep most of the drugs under control, because people can get addicted inadvertently to things, and it does ruin lives, and a lot of these things are really terrible, and that you shouldn't do them anyways, but through some means or other, they get into it, so. In some senses, I think, yeah, they should remain criminalized. They do go pretty overboard on some things, though. I mean, I read about one woman who was, I think she sold like $30 worth of marijuana, and she got 10 years in prison, which was actually costing the taxpayers like $500,000 or something for that 10 years, you know. So, I mean, in some senses, they do go really overboard, but Another sense is, I think, that the rules are in place for good reason.
The solution to that is to have privately funded prisons where the family of the perpetrators have to pay for that prisoner's accommodation and food there.
That's definitely an interesting concept.
Yeah.
But also the thing with legalizing this kind of stuff is, what's the message we're sending, like Shane said, to society? Okay. I'm sorry, but anyone that says marijuana isn't bad for you is out of their mind, because it's proven that it's not good for you. So, first of all, if you legalize it...
If something's not good, therefore it's bad.
Right. It's kind of, you know, obvious, but the people, obviously, that do it will sit there and defend it till the death. But the thing is if it's legal, first of all, and most importantly, it's going to send a message to children that, okay, it's not illegal, so it can't be that bad, therefore they're only going to damage themselves, type of thing. And the fact that it's illegal is because it obviously is bad. If it wasn't bad, it wouldn't be illegal, and people can't get that through their head. But if it's legalized, then people are, okay, it's whatever, you can do it, and then everybody's doing it, and it's just like cigarettes. And then it's just, if it's legal, it's okay to do. If it's not, then it's illegal. It's just plain and simple. I don't know why people... There's really not much of an argument there. It's just
people... I don't
know about
that. Because I got the sense growing up that tobacco and alcohol were bad for you, but they were legal, right? So I don't know if it's so clear-cut that if that children would start using it if it's legal, you know? Because most kids I knew, they wouldn't start, you know, until they became legal adults. And then
but we would have,
you know,
a similar situation like we had in the 1940s, with everybody thinking that smoking was the good thing to do and that it was healthy for you. So,
well, the thing
it would be that same kind of situation.
Right. If it's legal, I'm not necessarily saying they're going to want to do it, but they're not going to be intimidated to do it, is the thing. They'll be more likely to do it, because if it's illegal, they're going to be like, okay, I'm hesitant to try it. But if it's not legal, it's just a matter of, hey, you want to do this? Okay, sure, type of thing. You know, sure, it relates to the morals of that person and what they believe, but it's a lot, I guess, you're able to live with it more. If it's not like legal, you don't feel like guilty, because if it's illegal, you're going to feel bad about doing it, you're going to be scared, you're going to be paranoid, all that stuff that's initially preventing someone from doing it. But if it's legal, it's just a matter of, like you said, you know, hey, you want a beer? Sure, I'll take one. Hey, you want a joint? Sure, I'll take one, type of thing. There's not much prevention going on there. So, I don't know.
I think it just boils down to the core differing two core philosophies is, do you believe that humans are good or do you believe that humans are bad? Like, can they police themselves in their own morality, or do they need rules and regulations to show what society should work as, you know? Yeah. But I think you are right, and that's the sense that we could debate this forever, and exactly. You know, no one will ever change their opinions, and there will always be some on either side. And there are good things about certain viewpoints, you know. So I think it's hard to say. I'm not sure if it'll change very much in the future because of that, you know, unless there was an overwhelming change to one certain thing, it's going to be hard to tell what's going to happen in the future. So I think, in fact, I think such discussions are kind of hard to really, you know, it's good to discuss, but I don't think anyone's going to sway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think anything's really going to come of it, to be honest. So, Shane, what's bootstrapping?
Well, bootstrapping is the process of when you first start a simpler procedure to start a more complex one, such as, I guess you could think of the BIOS. When you first start your computer, you press a power button. The first thing that gets powered up is the CMOS chip, which in turn initiates the BIOS, which prepares to actually start your operating system, and it initializes the hardware and everything and all that other good stuff. So, but I think what Leo was just asking here is whether or not booting the computer every day is a bad thing for it. You know, booting the computer daily is probably not going to hurt the thing. The hard drive is the only thing that could get hurt from it, or maybe something in the power supply if you got a bad power source coming into it. But that's not going to hurt it. Something else will die before that hurts it. As for standby, that's probably the best way you could go with what you do with your computer at the end of the day. I don't even see the point to go hibernate anymore. Just go standby. And there's nothing really that wrong with it.
Yeah.
And either way, you'll be fine. But, you know, it's a matter of opinion whether you want to leave your computer on or not, and whether you want it to boot up quick or something. I know mine was up for 14 days before I restarted last night to install an update. So, and you can get, I think my highest time I ever had something was like 33 days or something. So, anyway,
those were two good questions, I'd say.
Okie dokie, and this next one is from Mr. Noob. So, Shin, Dibbly, Do, Diggity, D, Door, Dat, Dug, Dij, Dem, Shane, Kooli, Lo, Lile, Lola, and other guy, what kept you motivated when getting your first 99? I've recently begun working towards 99 agility, made it from 46 to 82, just doing agility so far, but it's getting extremely tiresome.
Well, I can't really answer this because I never was motivated in getting my first 99 because, well, I never did get my first 99, so clearly I wasn't motivated enough to do it. So that excludes me from the situation.
For me, obviously, I think for me it was the fact that it was not a very common cape. I did not want my first cape to be cooking or fletching. Not that there's anything wrong with people that get that first, but I just kind of wanted to be different. I wanted to, like, my first cape to be something that, like, was like, whoa, you have an untrimmed smithing cape? You know, it's more of, like, the reaction I'd get once I got the cape. But I can't necessarily say, I mean, there's times where it's just like, oh, you know, constant grinding is just so demotivating. But just, I guess the thought of, I guess you would call it respect. I don't know how much respect you give for something like that. But just an uncommon thing for someone to get as a first. I mean, you see tons of untrimmed fletching capes and stuff, but you don't really see too many untrimmed smithing capes. So I guess that's what kept me going. But Yeah.
Okay. As for me, farming was my first one. Something that... It was just something ever since farming came out that I decided I was going to do it. And the tagline for it was, it's not a matter of if, but when. So whenever that was, that happened. And, you know, I think the motivation also came from the fact that at the time I was doing it, there were less than 500 people that had 99 farming.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that goes true for all my capes, because all four of the ones I have, I guess, would be technically considered rare. Smithing, runecrafting, construction, and mining. It's not really something you'd see in the average player, I guess. So I guess I just kind of wanted to be different and challenge myself. I guess that's kind of what I get out of the game, just doing stuff that other people usually don't do or consider too expensive. I kind of challenge myself.
Yeah, off the beaten path. That's the same thing I kind of like to do with the game as well. So.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe one of those 99s is in my future, depending on what happens this bonus XP weekend.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And well, I did get 99 agility, and it was incredibly easy for me.
Because you have incredibly high willpower.
Yeah.
I'll just... But,
well, no, it's just
say...
I had two people who were supposed to be doing it with me, and one quit for a while, the other one quit permanently. So I wanted to be the first one done. And the other one didn't even tell me... No, and the other one didn't even tell me when she was getting 99. I missed it.
Yeah, her 99 party consisted of her dropping out of the pipe, screenshotting it, and then putting on RuneWire.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, thanks for letting us know you got it, you know. Oh, well.
Oh, well. They say you always remember your first 99 skill.
Yeah, I remember my first one because it's posted on the website and couple of different blogs and everything. So, and I remember everybody dressed up in their lederhosen outfits when I didn't even tell them to do that. And I haven't done a big 99 since then. The last big one I did was Herblore. So, anyways, last question. Kala, you can read this one.
Alrighty. This question is from Bring K. Dear Shane, Kula, and Devo, don't panic. I just started to read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy 2 days ago, as per my duty as a geek. Now, there is little controversy around the book, not because it's dirty or truly controversial, but because some people hate it and some love it. Example, I am loving the book and its zany humor, but my sister hated it because she thought it was too existentialist. That's hilarious. My questions are, have you read the book? If so, did you like it? If not, why? And do you always make sure you know where your towel is right now? And if so, where is it? And what do you get if you multiply 6 by 9, 42? I'll try my best. Hegelume gak jakvnen. Asa.
You know what that is?
No clue. I've never actually read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
No, no. My that text experience. At the end.
Yeah, I have no idea, but I'm assuming it's Klingon.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, God.
It's a very abrupt language.
Yeah. Did I read it right?
I think so.
I tried
to
read it.
Sounded,
like, yeah, I tried to read it
you,
very
You
angry.
Sounded Klingon there.
Very
yeah.
angry.
Yeah. Because that's what a Klingon sounds right, right? As an angry person?
Not always.
Oh, okay. Well, I just figure it's kind of like German in that sense. Yeah. No offense to German. You just happen to have a very angry language.
Alrighty. Oh, my dear. All right. No, I have not read it. No.
Dave? Have you read the book? No. So obviously I don't like it. If not, I just haven't had the urge to, and I don't know the question about the towel, and 6 by 9, in my book it's 42, but, you know.
It's 54.
My book is 54.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that those last two ones are in-jokes from the book itself that we
yeah,
would probably
I'd guess
get
that.
Very laugh at if we actually knew it. But unfortunately, just like Ben's question that was the first one, none of us have actually read the book. Just like yeah. played Alien Swarm. So sorry to disappoint you there, Asa.
Right.
But Once again, too many things on the go right now, so I'll probably get to it further on the road.
I don't know. I just prefer the nonfiction kind of stuff, you know, like the, for instance, the one that I'm going to be starting soon is George Bush's book, Decision Points.
Have you read Harper Land?
No, I don't. I'm going to wait until his own autobiography comes out. I don't think I didn't like the way Harper Land sounds.
Anyways, well, clearly we are not doing as good of a duty as being a geek as we should be. Wow.
Anyways, thank you, Asa.
What does that Klingon statement say, anyways?
I don't know. I'm going to look that up. I'm going to look that up because... no, but I don't think you... I don't think you... yeah, you didn't say a swear or anything. You're good.
Okay.
Not that any of us would know anyway, but...
It's probably just thanks for the answers or something like that.
Yeah. No, today is a good day to die, actually.
Oh, that's, really?
That's what it translates to.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's very subtle.
Okay.
That works for me.
It's
like got some in your throat there.
Hey, clearly it's not German, it's more Israeli. Yeah, alright. That's it for questions. On to tech news.
Yes, if you use Safari or Internet Explorer as your browsers, beware. Just as we're recording this, actually, noting on my Twitter stream, this exploit that caused problems for Internet Explorer in the Pwn2Own contest is now being actively exploited. So let's just say that if you're using Internet Explorer, now might be a good time to switch to something else, like Firefox or Chrome. Chrome and Firefox were not affected in this.
Of course, any time is a good time to switch, isn't it?
Well, of course.
Yeah, you know, it's always good. But I just wanted to say that, yes, these two browsers were broken, and as a result, the people who broke them, the one who broke Safari, got a 13-inch MacBook Air and $15,000, while the guy who broke IE8 got $15,000 and a Vio.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But, you know, the one that broke Safari was really, really strange to me. Because basically what happened in this exploit is the attacker was able to get in through what's called a buffer overrun, which basically means that you take some kind of text field and overflow it with actual code that you want to inject into the program. Now, that's not supposed to happen for three reasons. First reason is that you're actually supposed to use a string length that is of reasonable size, you know, not just any kind of string length, you know, because if you're working with something that's going to have a set length, then there's no reason to have anything longer than that. Secondly, there's supposed to be code that's supposed to prevent injected code from being executed, but that did not trip for some reason. And secondly, something called address space layout randomization, which basically means that the code in which goes in from the user input is not supposed to be close enough to the code that actually interacts with the computer in any way. So this Safari exploit was a little weird from my point of view. And as for the IE8 one, I don't know what happened with that, but we do know that Microsoft neglected to patch this in their patch Tuesday, even though they knew about it, and now it's being exploited. So, yeah, it's safe to say getfirefox.com or google.com/chrome. And it should also be noted that iOS 4.3 was able to be breached, and the BlackBerry operating system as well. So in a nutshell,
it said in the article that Firefox also survived a better showing than last year. Does that mean that it was broken last year?
Yeah, Firefox was broken last year.
Oh, okay. So they've improved then. That's good.
Yeah, I think the only one to survive last year was actually Chrome. which goes to a testament of Google engineering, because what Chrome does is each website and acts as if it was its own browser instance, you know? So with that, it's able to effectively sandbox the browser from the rest of the operating system, meaning that the browser itself is not going to be able to cause as much damage as it could be as if it was just out in the open, like we see with Safari there. So that's a strong point with Google Chrome. But then the question is that this Safari problem also came from WebKit, which is what Google Chrome uses to render pages. So, you know, it might just be part of Apple's negligence to use the enhancements from Google. I don't know, but suffice to say, if you're on a Mac, you'll want to switch to Google Chrome or Firefox. And if you're on Windows, once again, Google Chrome or Firefox. But on the same page, on Pi Day, March 14th, Internet Explorer 9 is being released. Finally.
Yay, but you should switch to Firefox or Chrome anyways, right?
Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, if you have somebody in your house who is really insistent on using Internet Explorer, this is definitely an update that has been a long time coming, and it actually makes Internet Explorer feel like it's a browser that could actually be used in the Windows operating system.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you don't want to, like, get rid of it. But, you know, I think that Firefox and Chrome are still going to have the speed benefit of being sleeker and everything, but I think you'll get better integration from IE9. It's just a matter of standards compliance at this point. Unfortunately, I'm in the situation where I can't install it because I need to maintain the most common version for development testing and whatnot. I even still have an IE6 version of Internet Explorer on my virtual machine. It's just for testing.
Testing how bad it is?
Yeah, testing how bad our site looks on Internet Explorer 6. We don't support it, but it's always nice to have a look at it to see what we've come from and stuff.
Yeah.
So, anyways, so as long time ago, IE6 came out when Windows 98 was still popular.
2001, August 27th. Wow.
Yeah, that's right. Just before XP came out, actually. Yeah.
Shortly after the completion of Windows XP. Wow, that's almost 10 years ago. Yeah, it's about time that they've upgraded it to 9.
But the thing is, Windows XP won't be able to run IE9 from my memory.
Hmm.
So you're stuck with 8 there.
Guess they don't like backwards compatibility anymore. Is that because they're stopping the... I guess that's because they're stopping the support for XP now. They're basically wanting you to upgrade to 7, or at least Vista.
Yeah, eventually, and also the kernel that 7 and Vista uses is different than the Windows XP kernel, and
yeah.
Internet Explorer itself is so intertwined into the operating system that it's hard to upgrade Internet Explorer without changing anything else. Like, it used to be worse than Windows 98, but in XP there's still that tie. That tie is essentially broken now in Windows 7 and Windows Vista. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, tell us about the Person Finder.
Oh, well, they did this. All right, I'll start from the beginning. Google basically created a Person Finder, so if you could type in a name of someone and you could look for them to see if they're all right. So what they did with this tragic tsunami that happened because of an 8.9 megathrust earthquake just off the coast of Japan just last night, less than 24 hours ago, and is still recovering from aftershocks. Basically, Google has allowed this Person Finder tool to see if people can locate missing people, or if they could see if their friends or family are all right. And they actually also used this before in the Haiti earthquake in 2010. I believe they used it in the Chile earthquake the same year, and also in the Christchurch earthquake that happened just earlier, just less than a month ago. So good on Google for creating this friend finder, I guess. so that you can find if someone's missing or if there's anyone has information on them. So if you have family or friends in Japan or anywhere else that has a huge disaster, then you have peace of mind, which I think is great.
Yeah, it's a good thing, really, you know, that they can do this. And I think in the future they'll want to expand on this to make it more automated in a sense. Like if the person is willing, use Android or something and location-based services to automatically update.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be good. You know, people say they don't like that, but you can turn it on or off, you know? It's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if you, like, needed some kind of passcode, you could just give out to your family and friends so they could see wherever you are, you know? Good for finding little kids that run away and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. Anyways. I think that is it for that. I'm just trying to get to the actual page, but there's, as usual with these websites, you know, they make it hard for you to actually see where this link is.
There's a link.
Oh, Google App Spot. Okay. There are currently 19,100 records. I'm looking for someone. Oh, I don't know any Japanese names. Okay, never mind. All right.
Well,
so that's
the, the article page used Kojima Hideo, which is the one of the, I think he's the CEO of Konami.
There's an earthquake. See if the leader of Nintendo is all right.
Yeah, but basically they found that someone has received information that this person is alive. Basically, he just posted on his Twitter that he was all right. So that's
so people are rushing to the page. I have information on him.
Yeah, they're wondering if their video games will be all right, which is either that's incredibly sad or it's a nice little spin on this terrible, tragic, natural disaster, you know?
Yeah. So, if you know someone in Japan or if anything else like this happens in the future, you can count on Google to find them.
But hey, lots of us in RSBNB live on the Pacific Rim. I mean, there's Chief in New Zealand, there's Trekkie in California, there's me up here in BC. So, I mean, we're all in earthquake zones, so it could happen anywhere at any time. So, I think this really is a great innovation, you know.
And there's no way to predict them.
Exactly. Well,
there's even some debate as if the smaller one a few days ago was a foreshock or a separate incident.
I think they're pretty much saying that it was the foreshock. But if you have a 7.2 earthquake, you'd think that was the main earthquake. But apparently it wasn't, you know. And they're still getting aftershocks there. They've gone up to over 30 aftershocks now. They're like over 6.0. That's wow. Brutal.
Yeah, and also, they got two nuclear plants that have been reported to be overheating.
Yeah. I think there
so
were.
So, anyways,
they were trying to vent the slightly radioactive material to reduce the strain on the rest of it. Which is a bit worrisome. But nuclear power plants basically accounts for 33% of the of Japan's power consumption, so it's it's pretty bad if they don't get the power.
Yep. Anything else on that, or should we move on?
Move on.
I think we're good.
Alrighty. Skill of the Month update, Yak Hunter. It's currently in first place with 482,000 summoning experience gained so far. Second place is Chris T, or Christ, as RuneScape client likes to call him, with 106K. And third, with 96K, is the Lion 777.
And I don't think
it'd be interesting to see what happens with these stats on this weekend here.
Yeah, especially after tonight's update. We'll have to see what happens, but I don't think the month is far from over for sure.
Yeah, there's still lots of time for somebody to even make a gain, because 482k summoning XP is not that much.
Somebody could be just camping water fiends and then blow up the last 3 days, you know.
Yep, I think that happened before in the first summoning skill of the month we ever did.
Yeah.
So.
Most summoning Anyways. Skill of the months, there's been a bit of a jump on the last few days.
Alrighty, so with that being said, next time we'll have a summoning skill of the month. We'll be in September, so no need to worry about this anymore. Well, yeah, you know, the summoning skill of the months have come on bonus XP weekends, except for the first one.
Yeah.
Which is really weird, but anyways.
I have come to... this theory has probably been already... revealed, but is it me or is it every bonus experience weekend has been on the time change weekend? That's how I've been predicting them and have fallen correctly so far for the past three.
There's a time change in September?
March.
Yeah, but this September weekend. As well? No, yeah. But the last one was in September.
Oh, that's right. True. Well, for March at least, yeah.
Well, six months from now. Yeah, there is a time change, eh? It's the clocks go forward one. They go forward 1 hour this weekend, and 6 months from now they'll go back 1 hour.
Right. Because it was on Labor Day.
It's really annoying.
Yeah. I hate daylight savings time. It just screws with time. I mean, as if time zones weren't confusing enough to understand, they have to throw this wrench into the works. that's a bit of an aside.
Yeah. So, pick of the week. Somebody?
I recently, like a month ago, I guess, picked up Bulletstorm by Epic Games. Some people developed Gears. They co-developed this with People Can Fly. And if you like Gears, definitely pick this up. It's almost exactly like it, except it's first person. And it's definitely a shoot 'em up game. Basically, you get points for killing creatively, and you have all kinds of different weapons, and you get points for doing unconventional things. So, I mean, just popping headshots isn't going to get you through the game. You got to do all kinds of creative stuff and throw people up against cactuses and all kinds of cacti, whatever you call it. But it's definitely, aside from most shooters, which is why I like it, I'm currently doing campaign right now. But yes, it's definitely fun, good pastime. So.
Alrighty then. And I'm sure you can find it on other platforms as well.
I think it's exclusively for Xbox right now.
Nope.
It's not?
It's also for the PC and the PS3.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I think the...
okay, then.
You also get like a Gears 3 beta or something. But that's...
All right. Yeah, that's where I heard about that. Okay, yeah. That makes sense now.
Yeah.
I know that it's distributed through Steam on the PC.
Right.
Steam is such a good little platform there for that kind of thing.
It is, I think. Alrighty. I was just reading the Wikipedia article, and it's hilarious when they describe the skill shot system. The skill shot gameplay system rewards the player for creating and inciting mayhem in the most creative and destructive ways possible, from killing an enemy in midair to pushing an enemy into a carnivorous plant to executing an enemy after shooting him in the testicles. And that's actually where a lot of the controversy has come from, is from rewarding players for shooting at enemies' vulnerable areas, shall I say.
Right.
But of course, most of it's come from Fox News, so...
Oh, okay.
Anyways, with that
being said, just the usual disclaimer, this game's probably rated M, so, you know, if you're not allowed to play those kind of games, don't play those kind of games. Don't say that we told you to play those kind of games, and so on and so forth. Anyways, achievements of the week. I have no idea how to say his RuneScape name, so I'm just going to call him Chris T from Informer. Got 99 cooking on March 6th. Congratulations there.
I think that's supposed to be an M. The IVO, I think it's supposed to be a fancy M. So I guess mage turret.
Oh, okay. Okay. That, okay. Yeah. I read that as like levelage turret or something.
Ivelage subnert. Oh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah, something like that. So congratulations there. And also on March 9th this year, Maniacs got 99 mining. Congratulations to you as well. I'm sure you're taking a long-deserved break.
As am I.
Yeah.
I got mine January 28th, and I haven't been on the game a lot. Well, due to school, but it definitely makes you want to take a long break.
It's always a tough one to get at mining.
Yep, that's right. That's why I only have a level 80. So, with that being said, let's talk to Dave and say, what have you been doing this week?
A lot of school, actually. I'm actually thinking about possibly double majoring, but I'm not sure. I'm still kind of weighing the options. But project, school, sleep, eat, welcome to college, you know. But
oh, yeah. I know all about that. Yeah.
The key is to keep yourself on a rigid and well-planned-out time schedule.
Right.
That's the key I found.
Or just make sure you do all your homework. I find that works for me, too.
But you need to set a specific time to do that.
Yeah. Whenever you can and all, wherever you can. It's basically the time.
No, that's not how it works. But anything else?
We're good.
Okay. Kala?
Well, what have I been doing? I know I said I was on Dragon Age Origins last week, so now I've moved back to Mass Effect for some odd reason. I do not know why. The game is just so compelling for some reason.
Yeah, I'm halfway through on Insanity on the second one. No, it's impossible. It is so freaking hard. It's not. I'm determined to beat Insanity on. I've beat Insanity on the first one. I need to beat Insanity on the second one before this holiday season because I'm definitely picking up Mass Effect 3.
Yeah,
I thought 3 was already out.
No, not yet. It's supposed to come out, they say, the holiday season of 2011, so it probably at the end of the year.
It'll probably be December 30th.
Yeah, knowing BioWare. But, it'll be in 9, 10 months or so. I mean, considering that the Mass Effect 2 just came out a year and 2 months ago. I mean, that's a pretty good turnaround for such a huge game.
Right.
But otherwise, I'm not doing too much other than school, getting into essay writing season.
Yay!
Those are due at the end of the month, so I better get going on those. Not much else, honestly. Nothing that interesting, anyways.
As for me, this week's been quite a bit of coding, actually. I didn't get everything done I wanted to. I got the bare essentials of it done. Aside from that, just a few farming runs here and there. That's pretty much about it.
Clearly we all lead interesting lives.
Yeah.
Welcome to RSBNB update, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Eh?
Yeah. So, anyways, I think that's about it for this episode of RSBNB Update. Then, somebody will be back with you next week, probably me. That's pretty much all I have left to say. You guys have anything else left to say?
I think that's about it.
Not really.
Alrighty then. With that being said, this update is done. And purple.
Goodbye.
Later.